much, folks. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. My wife always asked me what my verses are, and I told her Romans 12, 1 and 2, and she says, well, haven't you used those before? So I have used these verses before, not last week, but the week before, and I appreciate her pointing those things out, but I got an idea that I have not completely taught those verses and probably never will. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at Romans 12, just those two verses, 1 and 2. And the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, for all that it has for us. We thank you for the music that has already taken place, and now we look into your word. I pray that we'd set everything else aside. I know that we all have plans this afternoon or this week. Things are going on in our families and our homes, but for right now, Lord, I pray that we would just concentrate on knowing you and what you have for us. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We have been looking at these verses for the last couple of weeks. We started out with talking about a living sacrifice, and we looked at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 13 through 16. We talked about what we thought a living sacrifice would look like, and we said four things about a living sacrifice. Number one, it's a sacrifice of reproach. You know, you want to be in this world today, everybody wants to be, have their beautiful moment. Want to be one of the beautiful people, and maybe we try to dress that way or attract attention or whatever, but you know, in Christ, when you choose Christ, in Romans chapter 8, if any man be in Christ, and all of that process that takes place is when you sign up with the Lord, you have signed up for a sacrificial life. And I don't know if you thought about it or not, but a sacrifice is not an easy thing. A sacrifice is a hard thing. We're called to do hard things as Christians. In the year 2020 in America today, we want to do the easy things. We want to do the fun things. We want to do the entertaining things. And if we're not entertained in church, or if someone says, well, you know, I do that, but I really didn't like it, or I wonder at home, are you only asked to do the things you like to do? I don't know if my parents really didn't care whether I liked it or not. There were certain assignments you were going to do, and that's the way it was. And they didn't say, Stanley, would you like to make your bed? Would you like to vacuum the living room? Would you like to pick up your toys? Would you like to rake some leaves? They never, would you like never happened. It was this, 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 this. I'm still a little bit troubled by some of the things that happened. I want you to know your Heavenly Father loves you. He cares about you, but he's not asking you whether you like it or not. He died for you. I don't think he liked that job, but he did it because he wanted to please his Heavenly Father. And I think you and I need to be thinking about, am I pleasing to God Almighty? And there's some sacrifices that will take place. Number one is going to be a sacrifice of reproach. We're not one of the beautiful people. Sorry. The world looks at us, and sometimes they say the word Christian like they're spitting it. You Christians. I've had that said, you Christians. And that's not a term of endearment to them. Number one, you will experience a sacrifice of reproach as a Christian. We're called to do that. Not only that, is there a sacrifice of reproach? There's a sacrifice of praise. This is a very difficult one when we talked about it. Because we're in Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks for always for all things unto God. Romans 8:28, we know that all things will work together for good. And James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We are supposed to, as Christians, as a sacrifice, we're supposed to be thankful for every event in our life. I don't know about you, I've had events in my life I was not thankful for, I am not thankful for, and I have a hard time saying thank you for them. You thank God for COVID lately? Changed your life at all? I can't say that I've gotten up in the morning and as you're watching all the society be changed dramatically by the restrictions that have been put on our free society, I can't say, Lord, this is just wonderful. Thank you for this. But that's what we're supposed to do in Christ, is that we're supposed to be thankful for every situation. I know for a fact some of you are going through very difficult circumstances right now, physically, in your family. Every church has them. Every church has stories. It's hard to be thankful for those things. And I'm not going to tell you if you're backslidden if you're not thankful. But this, it's a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Says, thank you, Lord, for the experience that I've gone through. And obviously, when we taught that message, when we talked about it, I shared some of the things in my life that I have struggled in being thankful for. And I'm sure you could share those same stories. So a sacrifice of reproach, a sacrifice of praise. We also have a sacrifice of position. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. Be careful where you set yourself up. How you want to be seen. The sacrifice of position is, for instance, a great example of it. We don't have time to look at it this morning. Perhaps we should. Is there was a man named Lot in the Old Testament who sat in the gate of Sodom. Sitting in the gate at Sodom was a position of prestige where he was one of the people of authority in the city of Sodom. And we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was wiped out. And when the angels came into the city, Lot is sitting in the gate. And Peter talks about Lot, how his righteous soul was vexed by the people of Sodom. You be careful where you set yourself up and the influences that you are around, that you want to be in the in crowd. When we're in school, in high school, we want to be in the in crowd. And we get around things and we know we're in around people that don't necessarily do the right things. But, you know, you want to be accepted. And there's a term called peer pressure. Well, you know what? Peer pressure doesn't just happen in high school. It happens at the workplace. It happens everywhere you are. You want people to like you. So sometimes you go along to get along. Well, the Apostle Paul warned, watch out, evil communication corrupts good manners. I've given the illustration before. But it's so true. You will become birds of a feather flock together. Ever hear that? Buzzards don't hang out with eagles. There's buzzards, there's eagles, there's crows, there's blackbirds, there's starlings. They all flock together. A little shotgun practice doesn't hurt. You know? But anyway, those things, make sure the legal ones to shoot now. Be careful. But when I was in college, I needed a job, was willing to take anything. I applied for everything I could get. It was early 80s. The economy was difficult. We had just come out of the Jimmy Carter years. If you remember those wonderful days, those were some days to thank God for. But anyway, all of those times were going on, and I went off to college, and there was no jobs to be had. So finally, I found one in an auto parts warehouse, and I walked into it, and on the first day, there was the biggest bunch of groaners and moaners and complainers. And I'm thinking, if you hate the job so much, why are you here? But they were just constantly complaining. 6 months later, I was just like them. You get around that crowd, and I'm telling you, it's a disease. You watch out for the people that you hang out with. Be around the praisers. Be around the thankers. Be around the ones that are happy with life, and you'll be like them. Or you can be around the moaners and the groaners and complainers and the glasses half full, half empty, or whatever. Whoever you're around is who you will be like. Choose wisely. Now, obviously, Lot got around the people of Sodom, and they destroyed his life, and you wouldn't even recognize him as a follower of God Almighty. He was in the wrong crowd. Will you watch out for your position, your praise, your reproach? And obviously, there'll be a sacrifice of possessions. You know, we love to have things, and sometimes things are good, and sometimes those things can get in the way. Watch out for that. There's a great story in Luke chapter 12. And he said, well, let's take a look, and we'll take just a little bit of a detour. Go back in your Bible, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, New Testament, Luke chapter 12. I love this story because it's very convicting to me, and I've thought about it many times. Ever see things? I'm a car guy. This is not news to you, and I love old cars. I love old Fords. There's a lot of old Fords out there because Fords last. It's harder to find other brands out there because they're all rotted and gone into the ground. But if in the old Fords, whenever you, yeah, this is, This is good preaching now. Hang with me, all right? So, but if you're a car collector or anything, maybe you like old tractors, or whatever it is, I see things like that and I think, wow, I'd buy that if I had a place to put it. But you can't have something like that and put it out in the field. It's got to be undercover. So then I think, well, maybe I should tear down my barns and build larger. And I think of Luke chapter 12, and here we are. I want you to see, in verse 15 is where we're going, but I want to pick it up. Take heed in Luke 12, and take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life, listen to this, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Don't miss that. Because in America today, there's a philosophy that is permeating everywhere. He who dies with the most toys wins. Well, you know what? He who dies with the most toys leaves them all behind. He takes nothing with them. You've never seen a hearse with a trailer hitch. They don't pull a U-Haul. They just carry you. There's nothing else. And so I'm always very convicted about this guy. And he spake a parable and said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So whenever I think if I could just build another garage, I think of that story right there. Be careful with the things there's nothing wrong with having things. We all have them. God's blessed us. But we do not live for those things. Our sacrifice of possessions, everything belongs to the Lord. So we are called to be a living sacrifice. That's what it would look like. Then it also says, the Bible says that we are to be holy. We ask the question, would you describe yourself as holy? When you think of yourself, what is a term that we would use? And is the word holy one of them? And sad to say, it probably is not. And a holy sacrifice is a sanctified sacrifice. It's set apart. You and I are set apart for the Lord. Jesus, as he prayed for the disciples and for you and I, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And you and I are sanctified by God's word when we know it, we study it, we apply it to our lives. Not only that, we're supposed to be separated. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three things are the weapons that Satan uses to get us. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. As David sat on top of a rooftop and he looked down at a beautiful woman, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life kicked in on all three fronts on King David. Lust of the flesh, boy, if I had her, it would be wonderful. Lust of the eyes, she looks so good. Pride of life, I am the king. I can have whatever I want. And he got what he wanted, and he lost what he had. And I'll tell you what, don't you think, oh, how could he do that? Because you and I are easily as capable of that. And fact is, we've done things that we're not proud of, that we're held accountable for. Satan has always used those three things. He did it in the Garden of Eden. He tried it on Jesus Christ. It did not work. In all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, if you see sin taking place, it was one of those three things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It is not of the Father, but as of the world, and the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You and I are called to be sanctified by God's word. We're called to be separate from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Don't become like the world. I see the pride of life in Americans like there's no tomorrow. I see it, and I'm going to go where angels fear to tread here. I see it sometimes in our Sunday schools where kids say, well, I don't want to go to that class, or I don't want that teacher, or who are we to say? It bothers me when I've watched parents bring their kids to this church, and I'll finish it. And they'll say, you know, I don't want my child taught by that teacher. That is the pride of life. Who are you to say? that that teacher is not deserving to teach your child. That's dangerous ground to walk on. If we have put a teacher in a class here, we believe they're capable of sharing with your students, and chances are, if that teacher is that problematic, please come to me and tell me why they should not be teaching in Sunday school. But on the other hand, perhaps your child could learn something from that teacher and they would do well to be setting in that class. And I'm just saying the pride of life affects every one of us. Be careful what you think of someone else that you attend church with. Jesus Christ died for all of us. He loves all of us. We are all learning. Nobody has all the answers, but together, united, working together, loving the Lord, we can accomplish incredible things. But if we're going to sit around here and judge one another and divide one another, let me tell you something. Satan is finding an opening that will destroy this church. Now, that's not popular, but it's true. Separated from the world, the pride of life, you be careful about that. And not only that, serving. Lastly, we talked about this last week. You know, I found that I can't get in trouble when I'm busy. You ever notice that? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle lips are the devil's mouthpiece. And my father made sure there was no idle time around our house. We'd read about, hear about kids getting in trouble, and our thoughts were, how did they find the time? How did they do that? Stay busy. Stay serving the Lord. So obviously, we are called to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And here's the term this morning. We're to spend the rest of our time in this, which won't be long. This is your reasonable service. Do you hear me? This is your reasonable service. We say something to Cody's here in the front row. And he has this habit at home. We'll say something to him, and he repeats it under his breath. You know, go get the broom. He just does it. I don't even know if he knows he's doing it. So we're going to be Cody this morning, okay? I'm going to say reasonable service, and you're going to say under your breath, reasonable service, okay? Here we go. Reasonable service. Reasonable service. Oh, you guys, you nailed it. You nailed it. So why is it reasonable? God says it's reasonable that I should give my life as a sacrifice for the Lord. That doesn't seem reasonable. That seems ridiculous. Why would he ask so much? And the Apostle Paul talks about it in Acts chapter 26. This is where we're going to finish this morning, in Acts chapter 26. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. It's before Romans. If you're in Romans, go back one. Acts 26, the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony before King Agrippa. Okay? And he's talking about all the things that happened to him, and he's on the Damascus Road, and a bright light has struck him down as he's riding along. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 15, and he said, as that bright light knocks him down in verse 14, Paul says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Verse 16, but rise and stand, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, whom now I send to thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me. Here we go. That was Paul's salvation experience. Now, I've heard Christians complain, and I think I may have shared it myself at times. You think, wow, what a salvation experience. How incredible it must have been. How bad God wanted the Apostle Paul that he struck him down with a bright light, confronted him personally. Well, I'll tell you this. You and I do not have the same salvation experience as the Apostle Paul. I don't know of anybody that's had that situation. I don't know of anyone that's our bright light and came to Christ. But I'll tell you what, we may not have had the same salvation experience, but we all, if you know Christ and are in Christ, we've all had the same salvation. That's what matters. Because there was a time in your life where you heard the voice of God. If not, then you're not saved. Now, I'm not saying that I heard God's voice personally, intimately, and I know that he has this deep bass baritone voice that I heard. It's not like that. But I know for a fact I sensed God's Spirit speaking to me that I was lost and I needed to be saved, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. And if you have too, then I have good news for you. You heard from God himself, just like the Apostle Paul did. Having heard from God himself, what has he done for us? Well, number one, our eyes have been opened. We've gone from darkness to light. We have gone from the power of Satan to God. We have received forgiveness of sins. And by faith, we have an inheritance that will be ours when we see him. So my eyes were opened. I can see in the dark. Satan has no power over me. I am forgiven and I am an heir. The Bible says I have an inheritance. I might have an inheritance with Paul Griffin, my dad. I'm not counting on it, you know. I tell him, Dad, spend it all so we don't have anything to fight over when you're gone, you know. But I do know this for a fact. I have an inheritance from God Almighty that is set aside for me, and I know for real it will be there, okay? Not only that, it would be reasonable in my mind to give your all to Christ for just one of these things. For instance, my eyes have been opened. I don't know about you, but you've got to recognize that when you're seeing the events of the world, whether you're reading it in the newspaper or in your Bible or you're seeing it on the TV, that you and I, through the lens of Scripture, can see things going on that the world cannot see. God has opened our eyes. Not only we know the difference between good and evil, we know the difference between right and wrong as God sees it and not as the world sees it. I can see in the dark. Now, I'm not talking about when you turn the lights out, but I'm talking about this is a dark world. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's a lot of evil things going on, but you and I know right from wrong. Satan has no power over me. I like that. Satan has nothing right for anything else. To know that Satan can't do to me what he wants to do, because the power of the Holy Spirit in me, where I belong to Jesus Christ, he can't do anything to me without my Heavenly Father giving his okay. And quite honestly, when it comes to sin, without me giving the okay. I am forgiven. Now, you may think I don't need to be, because as good as I am, you know. Stand back, I'm going to get struck dead here. How great, honestly, how awesome is forgiveness? How incredible is it that God has forgiven you? The things that we've done in our past, the choices that we've made that we know were absolutely wrong. I don't know, but you don't get out of this life without regrets. It's not possible. But you give those regrets to the Lord and you can be forgiven. I am forgiven and I'm an heir. I've got something coming to me that the Lord has promised to me. It would be reasonable if there was only one of those things, but Christ has done all of those things, and he said it's a reasonable thing to ask for the Lord, from the Lord, for him to say, Stan, I want your all, I want you to sacrifice, I want you to be holy. It's only reasonable for him to ask that. Micah came and talked about, obviously, what was mentioned in Mark's Sunday school class. I'm not in that class, but I thought it was very interesting of what he said about the end times and Revelation. Having left their first love. Obviously, there's so much that can be said about that, because I know what I intended to say at the end of this message. And it's always interesting to me that the things that Mark is saying and I am saying, we don't compare notes. We don't even talk during the week. It takes time to talk to Mark. And I don't you know? Now, he slammed me earlier. I'm going to throw one at him, all right? So, consider this. I believe what's bothering me as we talk about all the things that are going on, and with all the things in the news, the elections, what we do is, so COVID is a concern. Let's just list some things, and I'm ending here. Just stick with me for just two more minutes. COVID's a concern. The presidential election is a concern. Have you heard, seen any ads on TV lately about upcoming elections? Maybe you haven't. I'm told they've spent $40 million between Gideon and Collins. $40 million in one state, one senatorial election. You could have my vote for a mere 100,000 if you just want to, you know. So we got COVID, we got the elections, we've got different things going on, and we have the gospel. And I've thrown that in there because I'm afraid that as Christians today, we put our faith in the running with everything else. And folks, that is a horrible error on our part. I'm afraid that the church and the Cornerstone Baptist Church is guilty of this as anything. We've gotten away from the primacy of the gospel. Primacy meaning preeminence, meaning priority, meaning is there anything greater than the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? There was a day where that was the only thing Christians were concerned about. What we should be thinking isn't so much whether the elections will affect my income, whether I like the new president, whether we'll reelect the old president, whether that senator will be in or this one, or who will be governor. And all of the times when those influences, those decisions are thought about, how do we think about it? Well, we think about, well, what will that do to my income? What will that do to our freedom? What will that do to whatever you fill in the blank? What our first question should be is, what will that do to the gospel of Jesus Christ? How will that affect how we can present Jesus Christ? How will that affect how I can live for the Lord? And when the laws were being constantly changed in the Old Testament, and Daniel was told that he could not pray, what did he do? He went publicly, what he did, what he always did. He opened the windows, he looked towards Jerusalem, and he prayed to the God of heaven. Because why? Because Daniel was a servant of the living God. And you and I are called to be servants of the living God. And I want to say, Cornerstone, listen to me. The most important thing going on in your life, guys, is not your wife. Ladies, is not your husband. It's not the kids, whether they're in school or out of school or whether they can go to school. The most important thing going on in any Christian's life is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the main thing. That is the only thing. That is the thing that we do. And I'm afraid we have gotten away from that. And now it's just one of the things that we do mixed in with the society of life. And in doing so, Satan is winning. We need to get back to the basics of being a living sacrifice, holy. It's only reasonable that he asked that of us because he held nothing back. And you and I live a free life in Christ because he gave his all. And you know what? He only asks this of us in this one life. Just this very short life that we live. Have you noticed? I know our kids think life is long and how can, but you know what? I've noticed now, life is short. Death is sure. Sin the cause. Christ the cure. And let me encourage you to just make up your mind in this very short life that I have, I'm going to live it all for Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I hope we realize how important it is that Jesus be the main thing. the top thing. Our life goes by so quickly. I think of the 30-some years that I spent cleaning furnaces, and there's no sin in cleaning a furnace. But I wonder if I didn't clean too many furnaces and not talk enough about Jesus. Those days are behind me. I cannot go back. But Lord, going forward, I want you to be the main thing in my life. I want Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be made conformable, transformed by you. I want to be your man. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my church. God, I pray that you are the number one thing. And if we can get that right, as Micah said, if we can get the vertical correct, the horizontal will be taken care of. So, Lord, we ask that every person here know you as their personal Savior by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And then, Lord, the message was to Christians, and we have to ask, has Jesus Christ just become one of the 10 things in my life? Or is Jesus Christ the main thing in my life? Because it's only reasonable that we give you our all. We'll open the altar. We'll give folks a chance to respond. I don't know what more I could say. I pray your Holy Spirit would fill in the blanks. Bless this invitation, please. In Jesus' name, amen.